Hare Krishna.
Morning, dear devotees. Is Srila Prabhupada visible? Yes? Okay. Sorry. This almost didn't happen. The computer crashed again. And somehow I was able to revive it. And that's what took me so long. Srila Prabhupada is not facing. That's strange. It's the same way he always is. He's probably not completely facing because there's two cameras here. And is that a little bit better? Yes, okay. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Brihad Bhagavatamrita, second volume, Chapter 4, text 100, I hope. I don't see anybody saying, suggesting something different, so it must be 100. A short announcement. I can't go as late as I usually do because of Dhammadharastika. And just if I end a little bit earlier, which I may have to, that's the reason behind it. So, text 100, and I'm going to be reading, I believe, several verses tonight, or this morning, for North America. Gokula charitam chasya mahamahatmyadarshakam Paramastotra rupena sakshad gayami sarvada. I always sang openly in excellent prayers of his activities in Gokula, which reveal his greatest glories. Commentary. Gokula is Rajabhumi, the land of Mathura, with the all-attractive performance of Sankirtan, Gopakumar described for Lord Narayan the Lord's own childhood pastimes in Gokula. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Garanjana Salakaya Chakshu Unminitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shigurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shanyavari Pasta Chade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadardhar Shivasiddhi Gauravaktivinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I always like to keep continuity Therefore, in the previous verses, we spoke about, yes, in 98, we spoke about the opportunity the Lord gave Gopakumar, opportunities, gave Gopakumar for intimate personal service, which consisted of fanning him with a chamara, and as well by accepting his flute playing, which the Lord took great pleasure in and hearing from Gopakumar. And I believe we spoke about training, about training that Gopakumar experienced in Vaikuntha, and as the commentary said, after this initial training, he was allowed a regular service at the Lord's side. And then we talked about training also, distinctions between the two types of training, training required for service in Vaikuntha, and the training required for service in Goloka. And we gave references from Chaitanya Charitamrita and Nectar of Devotion, describing how the devotee, he worships a particular associate of the Lord, Ragatmaka Bhakta, and he meditates on his mood of service and aspires to become qualified to take birth, where he can be trained in an appropriate way for his final destination in Goloka. But training is essential in both realms. And then the last verse, by the habit of my past practice, I would sometimes loudly repeat in various ways, O Krishna, O Gopal. That was verse 99. And we've also spoken about Gopakumar's habits from his past practices, which was his spontaneous desire to for service, which is result, or which was manifesting as a result of his devotional practices in the chanting of his mantra and in his meditation, and in the reciprocation he was experiencing in his meditations in service of the Lord. And today's verse, he says that I always sang openly in excellent prayers of his activities in Gokula, which reveal his greatest glories. And now we're about to read several verses where there may be some, appears to be some differences of opinion as to what is the Lord's greatest glory. For Gopakumar, his greatest glory, the Lord's greatest glory, is those intimate pastimes manifest between the Lord and his intimate friends, although he still doesn't yet know it's in Goloka. He just knows that there's some intimacy there. And he still, in his naivete, considers that possibly where he is right at this point could be what he was looking for. And we already spoke about that also. But nonetheless, he, by his experience in the chanting of his mantra and meditation and reciprocation, he was convinced that the greatest glory was that which he was possibly going to get very soon in his relationship with Lord Narayan. And that is what he began calling out, or those glories are what he began calling out in the names of Krishna and Gopal, which were the Lord's pastimes in his youth, as opposed to his manifestation, the Lord's features, which are manifest in Vaikuntha. And these next verses are going to elaborate on the reactions of the Vaikuntha Vasis to hearing these, what Gopakumara thought was the greatest glories, because in their opinion, there were greater glories, and the glories that Gopakumara was speaking in a very intimate, personal way were not the most glorious pastimes of the Lord, and they were inappropriate. We'll also read something very interesting, which is something that we haven't been really emphasizing so much. We've been mostly emphasizing the mood of Vaikuntha of awe and reverence, and how the predominant mood of Vaikuntha in awe and reverence is such that the appreciation of Goloka and the pastimes of Goloka is not generally manifest in the residents of Vaikuntha. Yet soon we'll read in the verses coming up, and I hope to read them today, that there are different moods also in Vaikuntha. And Sanatan Goswami gives an explanation behind, or the reason behind, different moods. All of them favor the mood of awe and reverence, but some of the moods accept that the Lord could be pleased by hearing these names. And some accept that the Lord has unlimited pastimes. So if he has unlimited pastimes, why should we limit him only to the pastimes in Vaikuntha? And some of them feel this is out of place. There's no place for hearing these descriptions, hearing these names, and not what to speak of hearing the descriptions and names, but for engaging in such intimacy here in the presence of Lord Narayan. And Sanatana Goswami will explain these three different moods. Although awe and reverence pervades Vaikuntha, some are a little bit more, I would say, open-minded. And I think that word is even used in reference to the servants who have a greater open-mindedness, that yes, we shouldn't think that the Lord is displeased, because these names, these glorifications are certainly his pastimes, although they're not the pastimes we relish and we observe and we experience in the presence of the Lord. But certainly he's unlimited, and under all circumstances we should never in any way try to limit him by saying they can't exist. So of course these are the most broad-minded or open-minded residents of Vaikuntha, and there are some whose mood is such and that they're not so open to this expression, or they're not so open to this accepting that the Lord would be pleased by this. Let's put it that way. They're not so open to it. And liberals and conservatives, even in Vaikuntha. Was that private or was that to everyone? Yes, even in Vaikuntha, there's liberals and conservatives. And I believe Sanatana Goswami actually even brings that point up by saying that of the variety that exists in Vaikuntha, but again, this doesn't suggest that the kind of competition or apparent difference of opinions is based upon any kind of inappropriate mood of envy or inappropriate mood of condescension. As we've emphasized this again and again, that virtually will, even amongst the different parties or the different mentalities that exist, that cannot exist in Vaikuntha. No form of condescension. In fact, as we will see, I believe it's probably in the next verse. Yes, it is the next verse, or next second. Next verse, and then, the next verse. This point will be brought out. So that's my little explanation of this verse, that Gopal Kumar described his Sankirtan for Lord Narayan were the Lord's own childhood pastimes in Gokula. Text 101. Tatratyara bahir agatya dharaha sadbir aham muhu snehardra hidraya ukta sikshayad bir ivasputam. Translation. The residents of that place, laughing with hearts melted by affection, often came to me when I was outside the Lord's presence, not in the presence, outside the Lord's presence, and spoke to me in no uncertain terms, like teachers instructing a student. No commentary. But it's interesting to note that, as described here, that it was outside the Lord's presence, not in the Lord's presence, that Gopal Kumar was corrected. Like a teacher instructing a student, but laughing with hearts melted by affection. We've already described this adequately in previous presentations about the prevalent mood of Vaikuntha, the affection and friendship. And this is just another verse which helps us to appreciate the consistency that Sanatana Goswami presents throughout the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, never in any way contradicting a point that he's raised previously about the prevailing mood of the residents of Vaikuntha. So, text 102. Shivaikuntha vasina uchu maivam sabhodhayesh sam macha sankirtayesh tata upashlokaya mahatmyam anantam tva bhutad bhutam. Translation. The residents of Sri Vaikuntha said, "You should not address the Lord of Lords like this, and don't sing his praises that way. Just recite the standard prayers about his unlimited, most amazing glories." Laughingly, they're saying this. I didn't say it laughingly, but they were saying it laughingly. Commentary. The Vaikuntha devotees disliked hearing Lord Narayana addressed in such familiar ways as "my dear Krishna" and "hey Gopal." In fact, they disapproved of addressing him by name at all. They felt uncomfortable hearing songs that focused on the Lord's childhood pastimes in Gokula. They wanted to hear the Lord glorified in the Vaikuntha style. I believe we already addressed this point. The fact that they disapproved of addressing him by name at all, it could be misleading. But again, it's because of their mood. They feel that it's too intimate. And such intimacy. In fact, I do have a quote. I do have a quote in this connection. And it's a short quote from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He says, "In the consideration of spiritual variegatedness, there is a distinction between Lord Narayan's pastimes and those of Svayamrupa Krishna. Innumerable Narayans are included in the unlimited Svayamrupa Krishna. Krishna Chandra alone is the supreme absolute truth. From that Svayamrupa, Narayan's position as the absolute truth is manifest. Sri Baladeva is Krishna's Vaibhava Prakas and the source of all the supersouls. When our spiritual propensity is awakened, we understand that Krishna is Svayamrupa and full of transcendental bliss. There is no distance from him in the name of awe and reverence. It's not possible for a worshiper to offer complete service to the worshipped when he feels awe and reverence." So that is, as we said, that is the incomplete nature, although for them it's complete. And we've emphasized this point many times. For them it's complete, and as we said, there's complete, more complete than most complete. Gopakumar is not complete. And that will come out. It will be spoken about very soon, the incompleteness he feels in his heart. Again, they disapproved of addressing him by name at all because it's a kind of intimacy. You know, you don't. When you address somebody by their name, it's a form of intimacy, like we're friends. I can address you by name, but they consider that's not appropriate here. Better just expand his glories in an appropriate way by describing his activities that he performs as in his majestic way as the Lord of Vaikuntha. In fact, I was going to read, I'm not sure if I'll have time for reading it tonight. But I did, when I read this, it really made me feel, it made me remember. In the first volume of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in the last chapter, when they had to bring Krishna back to a normal state, because for the residents of Dwarka, his crying, his remembrances of the devotees in Goloka, his even his late sleeping on that particular morning. It was a very unusual event for him to sleep late. And his late sleeping was because of what Rukmini described when they were discussing outside of Krishna's room, that sometimes Krishna, in his sleep, he begins crying, he begins calling out the names of certain maidservants, and he begins manifesting some indications that in his dreamlike state of sleeping, he's meditating and he's thinking of someone other than us. And even Balaram explains at one point, well, this is the deceptive nature of my brother, that he's actually, and he even used that word, my brother is a little deceptive. He's simply trying to make us think that way, to instill within those, all of you, some, even in the presence of my brother, some feelings of separation, to make you think that he's thinking of somebody else. But actually, and he goes on to describe Krishna's behavior in this way. That's not really the point I wanted to make. But the point I wanted to make was that his normal behavior in Vaikuntha was somehow being disrupted by this unusual behavior of him sleeping late and then having this discussion taking place outside his door. After sleeping late for some time, he came out and began talking. There began a discussion about the residents of Goloka, his most intimate servants. And then the result of that conversation was that both Krishna and Balaram, they lost consciousness. In tears, they fell on the ground and completely lost external consciousness. And when word got out that Krishna lost consciousness, everybody was running to the palace. You know, what is this Krishna losing consciousness? He doesn't lose consciousness here. Something's wrong. Something's terribly wrong. This is very unusual. And then, you know, everybody started running to the palace. And then Lord Brahma heard that Krishna, his father, had lost consciousness. He immediately appeared on the scene and then saw that Balaram, and both Balaram and Krishna were lying there unconscious. And then Garuda, he also appeared on the scene, and when everybody saw this, they all started crying, and they had to gather their wits, and they all had to make a decision that we have to do something to bring them back to their normal state of consciousness. Because normal state of consciousness is not what we're seeing here. This is not normal state of consciousness that we're used to seeing. So then they hatched a little plan. Brahma and Garuda, they hatched a little plan that they decided to take Krishna and Balaram, you know, to Nava Vrindavan, that place which was fashioned by Vishvakarma, where there were forms of Mother Jasoda and the cowherd boys and the cows and the calves and the gopis. And they decided to take him there, and they arranged to put them on the back of Garuda, and Garuda flew there, and somehow during the time of transition, Balaram came back to external consciousness, and he began to understand what was happening. So by the time they landed in Nava Vrindavan, then what happened is that Balaram had to bring Krishna back to consciousness there, and to help him to understand where he was. He changed his clothes. He put on an appropriate dress for the residents. He put on cowherd boy's clothes. He put ganja berries. He put a flute in his hand, and then Krishna looked. He came back to external consciousness, and he looked at himself, And then he felt, well, this is, now I know where I am. And the first person he sees is his father. He sees his mother. And then he starts talking to Mother Jasoda. And he starts apologizing to Mother Jasoda that I just had this amazing dream, but I can't tell you this amazing dream that I had. It will take me too long to explain it. And then Rohini, she sees that, she understands that what Krishna is thinking, and Rohini is thinking that Krishna is going to want to go out soon with his friends to the pasturing grounds, and he's going to wonder, why isn't Jasoda moving? So I have to divert his attention and say that, look, I'll prepare some lunch for you so that you can go out with your friends to the pasturing grounds. And then she was saying this because he wanted to take his attention away from Jasoda, who wasn't moving. But that didn't make any difference anyways, because Vishwakarma had everything perfectly planned. And even though Jasoda wasn't moving, Krishna decided that he was going to steal a little butter from her hand, which Vishwakarma put in her hand. And Krishna went up and he took the butter out of her hand and was very happy to receive that butter. And then he was assured that Jasoda, Rohini, they would prepare lunch for him as he went out with his friends and his calves. And then he saw Srimati Radharani. And as we already described before, what happens when he saw Radharani, then he looked around to see if anybody was looking, and nobody was looking. And he threw flower petals on her and said, we'll get together tonight. Don't worry. We'll enjoy. And then he looked around, saw nobody was looking. And then he embraced her and kissed her, because Balaram had already gone ahead with the other cowherd boys, he was thinking. And then he went. And then what happened is he went and he came to what he thought was the Yamuna River. And he saw this huge body of water. And he saw this huge city. And all of a sudden at that point, that's when Krishna started to think, hey, wait a minute. Who is this? I mean, what is this? And who am I? And Balaram, understanding exactly what was happening, he was going to try to bring Krishna back to what was understood as his normal state of consciousness. Because normal state of consciousness for the queens and for the residents of Dwarka, the normal state of consciousness is somebody who doesn't fall on the ground feeling great separation. His normal state of consciousness is, you know, he's very attentive to his daily duties. He rises early in the morning. He meditates on himself in every palace where he is. He performs all of his household duties very nicely. He has all of his queens who render service to him and very nicely in each of his palaces. He's just, this is his normal state of affairs in Dwarka. And this unusual state, this unusual display had to be restored back to normal. So then what does Balaram say? What does Balaram say when Krishna when Krishna looked around the seacoast, he noticed his own great city visible in the distance. Krishna was surprised and exclaimed, what is this? Where am I? Who am I? Astonished, he spoke these words again and again as he gazed at the vast ocean and the city. Then Lord Balaram told him something. Shri Baladev said, oh, my master, Lord of Vaikuntha, please consider who you are. You were asked by the demigods to descend to remove the burden of the earth. Now please destroy the wicked and protect everyone else. Your cousin Dhammaraj King Yudhisthira has undertaken a sacrifice. Please see to getting it performed. You have established Yudhisthira as emperor, but he is intimidated by Shalva's younger brother and by other exceedingly powerful villains. Please, therefore, go to Yudhisthira and with the help of the Yadus, try to kill his enemies who are persecuting your devotees out of hatred for you. Sri Parikshit said, Balaram spoke these words to change his younger brother's ecstatic mood and bring him back to normal. Indeed, upon hearing what Balaram said, Krishna did change his mood. The personality of Godhead grew angry and said, Brother, who are those useless creatures, Shalva's younger brother and those like him? I will go by myself and kill them at once. Yes, Krishna doesn't make statements like this. When Krishna descends, he brings his other manifestations, they enter within him to take care of them. And Krishna, he's always relishing the mood of his residence. In Svayam Rupa Krishna is always relishing the mood of the devotees' residence in Gokul. I guess I'm talking about when he descends, we're talking about Gokul. So then he says, trust these words of mine is true. They give my firm promise. In this way, the circumstances of the moment made Lord Krishna forget his confusion. Looking around again, Krishna remembered that he was the master of Sri Dwarka, the divine king of the Yadavas. He remembered he had been sleeping inside the palace. Then he saw the flute in his hand, and himself and his older brother dressed like forest dwellers. Krishna perceived he had gone out of the city to tend cows. And this filled him with surprise and doubt. He laughed as he pondered it. His brother Balaram understood what Krishna was thinking. Smiling, Balaram explained that this was all Brahma's arrangement and told Krishna the reasons why it had been done. There's more, but that's what it made me think of that section, that what's normal, this is what's normal. Of course, Dwarka, as we know, Dwarka is also a higher section of Vaikuntha, but it's still Vaikuntha with a mood of awe and reverence and more friendly affection pervades, but it's still outside Vrindavan. And as we know, Krishna never goes outside Vrindavan. Only Vasudeva Krishna goes outside Vrindavan. But anyways, why did I say that? I can't remember. But it was somehow connected, oh yes, to the verse we just read. The residents of Sri Vaikuntha said, you should not address the Lord of Lords like this. Don't sing his praises that way. Just recite the standard prayers about his unlimited, most amazing glories. So these Vaikuntha residents, they disliked hearing Narayan addressed in such familiar ways as my dear Krishna and hey Gopal. In fact, they disapproved of addressing him by name at all. They felt uncomfortable hearing songs that focused on the Lord's childhood pastimes in Gokula. They wanted to hear the Lord glorified in the Vaikuntha style. So they were one. And a set they'll go on to explain. Oh, this is interesting. They'll go on to explain. Next verse. Next verse. Sangharayaiva dushtanam shishtanam palanayacha kamsam vachayate tanena gopatvam mayaya kritam. To annihilate the wicked and protect the civilized and to cheat Kamsa, the Lord disguised himself as a cowherd by his illusory energy. So this is how they think. This is how they think. That this is the Lord's purpose. To annihilate the wicked. You know, Dharma Sangstha Pranataya, what is that? Parashanaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chaduskritam. To annihilate the wicked, protect the civilized. These are verses that they want to, these are real glorification of that we should be hearing about. Not, hey, Gopal, and who is this, my dear Krishna? Dear Krishna. No, my dear Krishna. Such informal, intimate. This is not the proper mood for our reverence, which is their mentality. So, therefore, and he also said the Lord disguised himself as a cowherd by his illusory energy. Commentary. As far as these Vaikuntha Vasis are concerned, the Lord only pretends to be a cowherd boy in order to deceive the evil king Kamsa of Mathura. Krishna had to cheat Kamsa to get rid of wicked demons like Putana and protect decent persons like Sri Vasudev. But Gopakumara's advisors honestly believed that the Supreme Lord of all lords is never actually such a degraded creature as a cowherd. This is going to be expanded on a little more in the next verse. You know, degraded creature. The next verse has a little bit of a longer purport. And because it's already 6:35, I'm going to not, it won't be as long a class tonight. We'll continue this on Monday? Yeah, Monday. Monday, the day after tomorrow. We'll continue. We'll read the text 104 and read a little bit more about this degraded creature, the cowherd. In fact, it makes me think, I hope I can find it, just in that same section that I just read from in the first volume, when Padmavati speaks about Krishna, when she talks about, you know, how he's treated in this place, you know, where he's herding cows. What is he saying? And she even suggests when he was afraid that Krishna was going to go back to Vrindavan and leave and to give up the kingdom where he was, she was even saying, in order to keep him there, that, you know, why doesn't just Nanda Maharaj just pay him something for all the cowherding that he did while he was there? and that was even her suggestion. So he's not obliged to go back to them. Because the way he was treated there, you know, walking around the pasturing grounds, they didn't even give him any shoes. And he was doing such menial service of going out to the pasturing ground with his friends pasturing cows. I'll see if I can find it. Padmavati. Here it is. Padmavati said, just see, since childhood Krishna has stayed in the forest full of thorns to guard the cows of those merciless cowherds. They never even gave him shoes. And if when tormented by hunger, he sometimes ate a little stuff made from the milk. The cowherd women punished him by tying him up. That's her perception of what goes on in this place. They don't even give him shoes. He goes off. They give him a little stuff, this milk. And if he takes a little, the cowherd women, they beat him up. They tie him up. And they scold him abusively. Because he was young, Krishna had no choice but to tolerate all this pain. But what does he have to do for those people now? So that was one of her statements. She spoke up several times in this way. But again, you know, especially describing, you know, their perception of Krishna with these residents of Vrindavan and how they mistreat him. And he's got it much better here with us, much better here. We take much better care of him. And they don't treat him properly at all. Too much, not proper respect. They don't even, you know, provide him even opulent foods. They just give him a little milk. And of course, it's a misperception, but that's their misperception. Even in Dwarka. Okay. So we'll talk about these a little bit more about these cowherds in the next verse on Monday. We'll chant maybe a couple of rounds. I'm not sure, a little bit, and then I will try to end it probably in about 10 minutes. We'll end. Padmavati. Padmavati is Kansa's mother. She Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. And she always likes to, I think the word that is used in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, she likes to prattle, gossip. She always has something to say and prattle about Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So we will end here. Thank you very much, dear devotees. You can unmute yourself and we can chant Hare Krishna together. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.